The second parak starts off with Mishnah Aleph in discussing the Edim that used to come up to testify that they had seen the new moon in order for the Beis Din to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. So the Mishnah says, Im Einan Makirin Oso, if the Beis Din in Yerushalayim that was accepting and vetting out their testimony did not recognize the witnesses coming in front of them, Mishalchin Acher Imo Lahayido, the hometown Beis Din of that witness, in other words, when he leaves town, that Beis Din in his town would send along with him a pair of witnesses. So when it says Mishalchin Acher, it's not talking about an individual, one person. They used to send two people that can go and testify that he was a trustworthy person. So that's what the Mishnah says. He may not makirin also of the Beis Din in Yerushalayim doesn't recognize the person who's coming up. Mishalchin, the Beis Din in his town, Mishalchin Acher Imo Lahayido, they would send a pair of witnesses with him to testify that the Beis Din in Yerushalayim could trust this person's testimony. And now the Mishnah is going to explain why would we need to verify the trustworthiness of somebody who's coming to Yerushalayim. The assumption should be that if somebody is coming to give testimony, he should be trustworthy. So Barishona Hayu Mekablim Eidus HaChodesh Mikol Adam, initially they would take the Eidus HaChodesh, Eidus that somebody saw the new moon, the crack of the new moon, from anyone. The default was every Jewish trustworthy. However, Mishikilkulu HaMinim, when the Minim, the heretics, other Girsas say the Baitosim, those that only held by the Torah Sheba'al, not the Torah Sheba'al Pet, they messed up the system, they played games with the system, they sent people to give false testimony, and it was discovered at that point that the Baitosim, or the Minim, the heretics, were trying to play with the system and have Rosh Chodesh on the wrong day. So Mishikilku L'Amilim, Hiskinu, the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, instituted Shlo Yehu Mekablim Elamin HaMakirim, that they would not accept testimony when it came to being Kaddish the Chodesh, except for somebody that they either recognized or that had two witnesses come and testify that the Beis Din did know, and they would testify that this individual was trustworthy. Mishnah Beis discusses not the witnesses coming up to Yerushalayim to give testimony that they had seen the new moon as the prior Mishnah, but it's talking about the shlichim, the messengers that were sent out, as we discussed in the prior perek, the messengers that were sent out by the Beis Din to inform the communities that were far away from Yerushalayim when Rosh Chodesh actually was. So that was not the original procedure for informing the distant communities as to when Rosh Chodesh was established, but rather our Mishnah tells us, Barishona hayu masin masuos, initially, originally what they would do is once the Beis Din HaGadol would declare it is Rosh Chodesh, then they would have a bunch of torches. So they had various locations on mountaintops, and the one closest to Yerushalayim, and we'll see this in coming up Mishnayos, how the process of this would light a torch or a bunch of torches, and then the next mountain would see them, and they would light torches also until all the way out, all the Jewish communities very distant from Yerushalayim would find out that it was now Rosh Chodesh. So for example, if it's the 29th day at night, the beginning of the 30th day, people came to testify. The Rosh Chodesh was made on what would have been the 30th day, but it's a shortened month, so the 30th day is now Rosh Chodesh. That night, right after Rosh Chodesh, the torches were lit, and then the process would begin of lighting torches on further and further mountaintops. But the Mishnah says, originally, that's how they did it originally, but what happened was, Mishikilkalu Hakusim, now it was the Kutians. The Kutim are a group, a nation that converted apparently to Judaism, but the validity of their gerus is a subject of machlokus, whether they had a valid gerus or not. And unfortunately, there was a lot of friction between the Kutim and Klal Yisrael, mainstream Klal Yisrael. So the Kutim, because of that hostility, used to make religious attacks against Klal Yisrael, Shemikilkalu Hakusim. So when the Kutim played games, it was one time that Rosh Chodesh was not declared by the Beis Din. It was going to be a full month, so they didn't have to do the process of lighting the torches. They only had to do lighting of the torches when you had a shorter month, the 29th day, and the 30th day was Rosh Chodesh. So they informed everyone that it was a short month, the 29th day. It was Chasr, not Male. The Kutim went out that night, and they themselves took out torches, and they unfortunately defrauded everyone who then thought that it had been Rosh Chodesh that day, whereas it was really Rosh Chodesh the next day. Shomishikilku alakusim, when they started playing the games with lighting their own torches when it wasn't going to be a chaser month. Hiskinu shiyuch shluchim yotzim, the Chazal instituted, the Beis Din HaGadol instituted, that they would have to use shluchim, messengers going out from the Beis Din, which is a lot more of a laborious effort, that you have to actually travel all the way out to inform them when Rosh Chodesh was. Mishnah Gimel, Ketzer Hayu Masin Masuas. How exactly did they light these torches in order to inform the further out communities that it was Rosh Chodesh? Mivin Klunasaos Shal Erez Arukim, that would take very long beams of cedar wood. Cedar wood does not burn very quickly, and they took long beams, so when they stood on the mountains, it could be seen from far away, the next mountaintop over. And in addition to that, they took Vikanim, which is reeds, the atzei shem, and a certain type of wood, small pieces of wood, una ores, shel pishtan, and they also took flax, flax combings. All of that was combined, those latter three items, the reeds, the small pieces of wood, and the flax, and together that was combined, v'korech b'mishicha, and they would tie those three items onto the top of the long piece of cedar wood with a meshicha, with a rope, with a string. And what they would do is, when they were ready, umatzis bahen esaur, they would light them with a flame when they're on top of the mountaintop, umolech umevi umale umorid, and they would shake it back and forth, up and down, so people could tell that it really was the torch that they're looking for, not that it was simply a campfire on top of the mountain, adjuhu roes chaveiro, until the person on mountain number one would see his associate, Shuhu Osechein Barosha Arashani, that he was standing and doing the same thing on the next mountaintop over. V'chein Barosh HaRashlishi, and then the second person would wait till he see the person on the third mountaintop over. This is how the process continued with each of the communities further out, eventually finding out that very night when the Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh to be. Mishnah Dalet asks, U'me'ayin hayu masin masua. So on which mountaintops did they actually stand and light these torches? So now we're going to have a chain of mountaintops going all the way out to Pumpadisa in Bavel. Nehar HaMishcha, Shahar HaMishcha is Har HaZesim, close to Yerushalayim, inside Yerushalayim, just east of the Beis HaMikdash. And from Mahara Mishcha they would light, and then there would be people on the next mountaintop over, Lisartava, and Umi Sartava, Ligrofina, Umi Grofina, Lechavran, Umi Chavran, Lebeis Baltin. These are mountaintops further and further away. Beis Baltin is close to Pumpadisa, not too far on the border of Bavel. Umi Beis Baltin, Lozaz Umisham, and when the signal was on Beis Baltin, they would stand there continuing to wave the torch. Elamole Chumevi Umale Amori. They would shake side to side, up and down, Ad Shahaya Roe Kol HaGola Lefanav Kimidura Saish. Until that person on that mountain on Beis Baltin, he would stand there waving up and down until he saw the entire Gola, the entire diaspora. In other words, all of the people of Pumpadisa, they would come out and they would light torches as well, standing on top of their roofs, and the entire place was lit up with these torches. It looked like a massive bonfire, if we think about Lag BaOmer in Eretz Yisrael, until everyone was informed that way when Rosh Chodesh had been declared by the Beis Din in Yerushalayim. Mishnah Hay discusses, when the people came up to Yerushalayim to give edus, what did they do once they reached Yerushalayim? So the Mishnah says as follows, Chatzar Gedola Haisab Yerushalayim, there was a large courtyard up in Yerushalayim, with Beis Yazek Haisanikre, so it was called Beis Yazek, Ulesham Kol Ha'edim Mit Kansim, and all of the witnesses that came to testify that they saw the new moon, they would gather, they would congregate in that courtyard, Beis Din both came Osam Sham, and the Beis Din would come and investigate. They would test their testimony, receive the testimony, check the credibility of their testimony right in that chatzer. Useudos gedolos osim lahem bishvil shihu regilim lava. And they used to make them big seudos, a huge smorgasbord, a huge meals that they would be served to the people who came up, so they would want to come up. If we don't take care of them, they're not going to be inspired to come up, but we make it a regal event, make it special for them so they understand the significance and importance of their coming, they would be inclined to continue coming when they saw the new moon. And now we're going to talk about what happens if people came, as we said, they're permitted. It's still a mitzvah to come on Shabbos, even if there's Chilul Shabbos, but the mitzvah to come and testify to, as to the sing of the new moon would override the Chilul Shabbos. But there is an important issue that we need to deal with. Typically, if somebody has a tchum, he has a tchum Shabbos or yontif, that you're only allowed to go up to 2,000 amas outside of your tchum. If you're in the wilderness, you have 2,000 amas to go in each direction. If you're in a city, you have 2,000 amas from the outskirts of the city. But now, if people came from outside of their tchum, if they were more than 2,000 amas away from Yerushalayim, for example, then al pi halacha, when you leave your tchum on Shabbos or Yontif, you are stuck within 4 amos. So that was a problem. Barishona lo hayu zanzin misham kol hayom, when the people came and they left their tchum wherever they were to come to Yerushalayim, they were stuck there in that courtyard the entire Shabbos because they had left their tchum. They're stuck within the courtyard. Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Azakin, Rabbi Gamliel Azakin said, this is going to be very unfortunate for people. They're going to be unhappy coming, and those conditions that they have to stick within the courtyard because they can't go out anymore. Shiyu Mahalchin Alpaim Ama L'Kol Ruach, he instituted that they would be able to go 2,000 amas in each direction around Yerushalayim as if they were in Yerushalayim at the beginning of Shabbos. So they adopted the tchum of people in Yerushalayim so it wouldn't be too restrictive for them. And the Mishnah continues, V'lo Eilu Bilvan, and this is all discussed in the Mishnayos in Erevin, that it wasn't only for these people that they instituted that they're not limited to 4 amas when they leave their tchum, Ela Af HaChachama HaBa'ali Aled, but also other categories of people that are going to save lives. They too, we want to make sure that they will go and save the lives and do the important deeds that they do and not worry that they're leaving their tchum on Shabbos and they won't be able to exceed their 4 amas. So not only for the people who came to give testimony in Yerushalayim, but also they instituted that the other categories, even when they leave their tchum, they will have a tchum of 2,000 amas around them. The first category, Achachama Bali Aled, a midwife who is coming to help a woman to give birth. V'habala Hadzil Min Hadaleka, somebody who comes to help somebody to save lives when there's a fire, a dangerous fire going on. Umin Agayis, or to save somebody from a threatening army, an enemy army. So we have the militia, the police, people come to help out Klal Yisrael against those threatening hostile armies. Umin Hanar, if we have a river that is overflowing, so we need to save the lives of those people. Umin Hamapolis, or if there's a collapsed building, anyone that leaves their tchum to help out in those situations, Hare Elu Ka'anshei Ayir, they will be like the people of the city that they arrive at, V'yesh lehem alpaim ama l'kol ruach, and they will have their tchum of 2,000 ama in each and every direction. They won't have the penalty of having to stay within only 4 amas because they left their tchum. Mishnah Vav continues, Ketzad bodkim es ha'edim, how, when the edim came up to give testimony in the Beis Din, did the judges examine those witnesses? So the Mishnah says, Zug Sheba Rishon, any couple, any two, a pair of witnesses that came first, bodkim oso Rishon, they were examined first by the Beis Din. The procedure was as follows. Umachnisim es hagadol sheben. They would take the older one of them first, leaving the other one out so he cannot hear the testimony. Ve'omrim lo, and they would question the older one as follows. Emor, tell us. And they asked a number of questions about the positioning of the new moon. Ketzad ra'is es elavana. How did you see the new moon? Lifnei hachama o le'achar hachama. Was the unlit part of the moon towards the sun? In other words, that's lifnei hachama. Or was the unlit part of the moon away from the sun? That's la'achar hachama. Litzvona, was it in the north of the sky? Or ledromo, or in the south of the sky? Kama haya gavoa, how high above the horizon was the crescent of the moon? Ula'ayin haya nota, and the tips of the moon, were they pointing to the north or the south? V'kama haya racham, and how thick was that small crescent of the moon? And they answered the questions. Imam, and the older one, the ones that being questioned, he answered these questions. Now, if he responded, and this is just an example of a incorrect response. If he said that the unlit part of the moon was toward the sun, lo amar klum, he said nothing because that's impossible. The sun is simply a reflection of the rays of the sun, and accordingly, the moon could not be pointing, only the lit side of the moon can be pointing towards the sun, not the unlit part. So if they made that mistake and said the unlit side of the moon was pointing in the direction of the sun, that is not an acceptable answer. And then they would disqualify his responses. They would disqualify him as an aide, as a witness. And the same with the other questions that we aforementioned. If he gave clearly incorrect responses, they would disqualify him as a witness. Now, if he passed the test, he is a valid witness. Now we call in Vaharka Chayu Machnisim Es Hasheni Ubot Kimoso. Now they call in the second witness and they would also examine him. Im Nimtzu Divrei Mechuvanim, if they found out that their testimony was in parallel with each other, there were not major contradictions between them, so they fundamentally answered the questions properly and correctly. Edus on Kayemes, their Edus is valid. We have now two valid witnesses, and we can move forward with the Kiddush being Mekadesh to Chodesh, declaring it is now Rosh Chodesh. Nonetheless, the Mishnah says we have other people who have come up to also testify. What do we do with them? Ushar kol azugos. The other people who came, they made the effort. Sho'alim osam roshei devarim. We would ask them in addition, even though we don't need their testimony, but nonetheless, as we'll see shortly, we still ask them the main points of the testimony. Lo shehayu tzrichim, not that we need them as witnesses, because we already have two valid witnesses. That is all we need. Ela kedei shelo yetzu b'pachei ruach nefesh. So they should not leave disheartened and disappointed. They made the whole effort to come, and now we don't even need them, and we're not going to question them. So we'll still ask them some questions. Shiyu regilim lavo, so that they should become accustomed to come. In other words, in the future, if we disregard their testimony, we don't even ask them questions, they're not going to be inclined to come in the future. Accordingly, let's just ask them some questions. Let's get the responses so they feel that they are contributing to the process. Mishnah Zayin, now that we have accepted the testimony of two witnesses, the Mishnah moves forward with the process. Rosh Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din, Omer Mekudosh, he declares that the month has been sanctified. It is now Rosh Chodesh, V'chol Ha'am, Oni Macharav, and everyone around there would respond after him, not once, but twice. Mekudosh, Mekudosh, it is sanctified, it is sanctified. The fact that the Rosh Av Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din, makes this declaration that the people, the congregation, declare after him, and that they declare twice, is based on drushas, on psukim in the Gemara. The Mishnah thou cites a machlokas, an important machlokas, whether this whole process of declaring that it's Rosh Chodesh was only when the month was shortened. In other words, it was only 29 days, and the 30th day is now declared to be Rosh Chodesh, or also if the month was Maleh. In other words, it was a full 30-day month, and the 31st day is now becoming Rosh Chodesh. Did they also have to sanctify it, or there was no reason to because it's already been sanctified? It's obvious that that day is going to be Rosh Chodesh. There are no other options. We're not going to go to the 32nd day. So the Mishnah says, Bein Sheni Rebizmano, Bein Sheloni Rebizmano, whether Rosh Chodesh is Bizmano, it means a shortened month, 29 days and 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, or said that it's not, or whether it was not seen, Bizmano. This is talking about the seeing of the moon. So whether it was seen after the 29 days, in other words, after the 29th, which is the beginning of the 30th day at night, if it was seen then, or if it wasn't seen then, but it's going to be a longer month, a full 30-day month, and the 31st day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't matter. Mekadshino, so that is the opinion of the Tanakhama, that the Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din, the Rosh Beis Din, would declare it is Rosh Chodesh, Mekudosh, and everyone would repeat after him, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, regardless of the situation, whether it's Chaser or Malay, a full month, a shortened month, or a full month. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Im lo nireh bizmano, ein mekadshino. So if it wasn't seen in its time, in other words, if they didn't see it after the 29th day, at the beginning of the 30th day, and they are not declaring it accordingly, Rosh Chodesh, on the 30th day, so it's not going to be a shortened month, ein mekadshino, so there's no reason to be mekadish, to sanctify the month and go through this procedure when shikvar kitshu shemayim, because literally, the heaven is already sanctified. What that means is we have no other options. It's obvious that the 31st day is going to become Rosh Chodesh. It's memela Rosh Chodesh. It's by default Rosh Chodesh. So there's no reason to have to go through this declaration process informing people that it is Rosh Chodesh. Mishnah Ches is a follow-up of what we saw two Mishnayos ago of the investigation of the witnesses that come to testify. They saw the new moon. We're going to learn here that Rabbi Gamliel had a related process when witnesses were not so clear on describing, unable to describe what they had seen. Rabbi Gamliel had forms and shapes of the moon to ask them how it looked. So the Mishnah says as follows, Demus Tzuros Levanos Hayu Lo LeRabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel had forms of different shapes of the moon, Betavla on his table, Uvakosol and hanging on the wall, Ba'aliyaso in his attic, Shebahen Marehed Yotos Veomered, that with those he would show the simple people who cannot describe what they had seen. They needed some assistance in bringing out their testimony, and he would ask them based on showing them these forms, these shapes of the moon, Hakazer Raiso Kazer, did you see like this or like that? Kind of like going to an optometrist's office or ophthalmologist. Was it like A or was it like B? Was it like B or was it like C? And now the Mishnah is going to continue with two circumstances that people came to give testimony and it was in doubt whether their testimony would be accepted because they were saying things that could not apparently have been correct. And Rabbi Gamliel actually accepted their testimony. Rabbi Gamliel was known to be a real maven and expert in the Kiddush HaLevona and knowing the astrology behind the sanctification of the new moon, and also he had his own independent calculations as to when the new moon should show up. So when the testimony was vague, but it matched with his calculations, as we'll see in the next two situations, we're going to see that Rabbi Gamliel is going to accept their testimony, even though other Tanaim were not happy with that. There was a time that two witnesses came and they testified as follows. Re'inuhu shachras. We saw the old moon. In other words, the tiny sliver of the old moon disappearing. We saw it in the morning of the 29th of a given month. So it's still the prior month, the small sliver early in the morning. But Mizrach on the east side, Va'arvis and Bimarav. In Arvis that night, in other words, after the full day of the 29th, when the beginning of the 30th is at night, we saw it that night in the west side of the sky. Now, this is impossible because this is less than half a day between the two, and there needs to be at least a gap of 24 hours between when the old moon disappears and the sliver of the new moon appears. So this was an impossibility, what they're testifying to. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri responded, Eidei Shekerem, they are false witnesses. This is a false testimony. It cannot be accepted. And we cannot accordingly say that this 30th day of the month is really now Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the next month. Kishabau liYavne, but when they came to Yavne, where the Beis Din was standing, was sitting, Kiblan Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Beis Din, and he said, I'm going to accept their testimony. What was his rationale? Because he was of the view that the sighting that they claimed to have made in the morning of the 29th was simply a mistake. They must have seen something else, but not the moon itself. And he relied on their testimony that they had really seen the new moon after the 29th, at the beginning of the 30th. So he said that, and the Beis Din accordingly followed, that the 30th day was the first day of the next month. It was Rosh Chodesh. Continuing on the Mishnah, Ba'u Shnayim Ve'amru, another situation, two witnesses came to Rabbi Gamliel, and he asked them the various questions, and this was their testimony. This was for Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is obviously very important. That would be Rosh Hashanah. And then we said Yom Kippur based on that, and Sukkot based on that. Re'inu bizmano, they said we saw it in its time. In other words, right after the 29th, on the night of the 30th, we saw the new moon, and today should be Rosh Chodesh. It should be a shortened month. It should be chaser, not maleh. Ubelel iburo lo ni'rah. But however, the next night, which was the night of after the 30th, in other words, they made Rosh Chodesh that day. They were going to make Rosh Chodesh because they came and testified. But the next night, they did not see the moon anymore. Nonetheless, Vekibam Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony that it was valid, that they were testifying that the prior month should be chaser. And he indeed made the first day, which was the first day of the next month, the first day of Tishrei, based on their testimony. So the prior month was chaser. And That was kept Rosh Hashanah. Amar Rabbi Dusa ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Dusa ben Hyrcanus said as follows: Eidei Sheker, and their false testimony, it's false witnesses. Heach mi'idin ala isha shiyada. Can you give testimony that a woman gave birth ulamachar kresa ben shina, and the next day you see that she is still pregnant? In other words, Rabbi Dusa ben Hyrcanus is saying, is how can we accept the testimony of witnesses when they say at the ninth, right after the 29th, the night after the 29th, at the beginning of the 30th, we saw the moon, but the ninth after the 30th, which is really the 31st, we didn't see the moon? You can't be, because if the moon was visible the prior night, it should only be larger the night thereafter. So it can't possibly be indeed that they saw the moon after the 29th at the beginning of the 30th. Nonetheless, Rabbi Gamliel, as we know, accepted their testimony because he was of the view that they simply must have missed it on the second night. In other words, after the 31st, there must have been clouds out there that was blocking the moon. And in any case, their testimony that they saw the moon after the 29th, the night, the beginning of the 30th, matched his calculations that was accurate. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua Sunir, when Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says that they must be Eidei Sheker, they are falsely testifying, Rabbi Yeshua says as follows: Roe ani es dvarecha, I agree with you that indeed the Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the day of Rosh Hashanah, should not be on the 30th day, but rather it should be on the 31st day. In other words, we have a machlokas, as we will continue in the next Mishnah, between Rabbi Gamliel on the one hand, and we're going to focus on Rabbi Yeshua, which day was Rosh Chodesh, which day was Rosh Hashanah, and accordingly, which day is Yom Kippur. The day of Rabbi Gamliel for Rosh Hashanah is the day earlier, because he was of the view that the Tishrei was only 29 days, and Rabbi Yeshua was of the view that it was 30 days. Accordingly, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot was all going to be delayed by one day. Mishnah Tes is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua, who was the Av Beis Din, in other words, he was the second in control of the Beis Din, and Rabbi Gamliel, who was his boss, at the top of the Beis Din. So Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel sends a message to Rabbi Yeshua, saying as follows: Gazrani alech, I make a gzera upon you, shetavo etzli, that you come to me b'makelcha, with your walking stick. Maybe they didn't have an eruv, or it's muksa. It will be a chilul on Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Ubimoosecha, with your money. In other words, with your wallet. B'yom HaKippurim shechalios b'cheshboncha, on Yom Kippur, that falls based on your computation, because we have different computations. My day is Yom Kippur, the day before your computation of Yom Kippur. But I'm making a gzir that you make a public display that you are agreeing to the authority of the Beis Din. Now, Rabbi Gamliel was not having a power play here. He was very concerned that if Klal Yisrael has a division between them, it'd be a horrific thing to have two groups celebrating the Chagim on different days. So that was Rabbi Gamliel's concern. So he makes this decree: we need a public display that Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing and the whole Beis Din is having a cohesive decision together when Yom Kippur is going to be held. Halachu mitzao Rabbi Akiva Meitzer. So now Rabbi Yeshua didn't know what to do, because he was of the view that if he went on the day that he thought Yom Kippur was, and he was mechalel Yom Kippur, that's a chilul, that's a terrible thing. He was going to keep Yom Kippur based on his computation and not that of Rabbi Gamliel. So now Rabbi Akiva finds Rabbi Yeshua in sorrow. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't know what to do. Amar lo, so Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yeshua, Yesh li lilmod shekoma sha'asa Rabbi Gamliel asui. I have a limud based on a pasuk to teach us that anything that Rabbi Gamliel, as the head of the Beis Din, decides on behalf of the Beis Din. In other words, if we have a Beis Din decision, we have to follow the decision, even if we disagree with it, even if it's a mistake. Shnei Amarni brings a pasuk based on Vayikra Chav Gimel. Eile Moade Hashem Yikra Kodesh. These are the holidays, the festivals of Hashem, the holy festivals. Asher Tikru Osam, when you decree them. And the drasha is, it's based on the Beis Din to call them to decree when they are. Bein Bismanam, Bein Shelo Bismanam, whether they call it correctly, they decree the Chag in its proper time, or if they make a mistake and decree it when it should not be, it doesn't matter. Based on this pasuk, we learn, Eli Moados Ela Elu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, those are my holidays, and I have no holidays, I have no festivals, I have no Chagim, except as decreed by the Beis Din, whether they're correct or not, it's their decision. So that is the first point here that we have Rabbi Yeshua hearing from Rabbi Akiva, that once the Beis Din has made a decision, Rabbi Gamliel made the decision, we need to adhere to that decision, even if we think the computation is incorrect. And continuing, then, Ba'lo Eitzel Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. So now, Rabbi Yeshua comes to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, who from the prior Mishnah was in agreement. He was actually the ringleader of saying that Rabbi Gamliel had made a mistake. But nonetheless, he comes now to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, Amar Lo, and he says to him, in other words, Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says to Rabbi Yeshua, you need to follow Rabbi Gamliel's lead on this. If we're going to challenge the decisions of the Beis Din of Rabbi Gamliel, Trichin Anu Ladun Achar Kol Beis Din Ubeis Din, we are going to have to challenge and reinvestigate the decisions of all Bate Din Sha'aman Mimas Moshe Vadasha from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till now. Shne'emar, but there's a pasuk that says that we should not do that. Once a Beis Din has made a decision, the decision has been made. And this is the limud. Vayal Moshe V'Aharon Nadav Aviu. So Moshe and Aharon Nadav Aviu. And the Shivim Mizikne Yisrael, they all went up. So the question is, V'lama lo nisparshu shemosam shel zakenim? Why doesn't it say specifically the names of the entire Beis Din? It simply says 70 the Zikne Yisrael. It's coming to teach us a lesson. Ela l'lameh to teach us a kol shlosho shlosho sha'amdu Beis Din al Yisrael. Anytime we have a Beis Din of Klal Yisrael, a valid Beis Din, Harehu Kebeis Dino Shel Moshe, it has the same validity as the Beis Din of Moshe. What's going on here is as follows. We can never say in the future that it must be that halacha only applies, that it's not, we can't turn it over, we can't challenge it, because it was Moshe at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but our Bate Din are going to be on a lower level than this Kanim that Moshe had on his Beis Din, so maybe we can look and disagree with our Bate Din. So this is coming to tell us that it was the Beis Din at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know who was included in the Beis Din. The entity was a Beis Din, but we don't know who was included, and accordingly, it could be that the judges that we have in each generation were even greater. The Pasuk, in other words, is coming to teach us that from the fact that they were not named in this Pasuk at the time, the Beis Din and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron's time, it's coming to teach us that we just simply have to respect the entity, the institution of the Beis Din, and we can't make claims and challenge the decisions, and same thing in every generation thereafter. So here we have it, that Rabbi Yeshua is hearing from two of his co-Tanaim at his time, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, that the decision of Rabbi Gamliel, even with it we disagree, is final. We need to follow his decision. Yom Kippur is when the Beis Din decides and not when we think it is, even if we're correct. So accordingly, Rabbi Yeshua now takes his walking stick and he takes his money in his hand. He's walking around making a clear public proclamation that he is adhering to the dictates of Rabbi Gamliel and the Beis Din. V'halach liYavne, went to Yavne where the Beis Din was. Eitzel Rabbi Gamliel, where Rabbi Gamliel was, as the head of the Beis Din. V'yom shechal yom ha-kippurim lios b'cheshbeno. On the day that Rabbi Yeshua had computed is the proper day from Yom Kippur. Obviously, Rabbi Yeshua is adhering to the dictates of Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel, when he sees Rabbi Yeshua walk in, being Mechal Yom Kippur, at least on the day that Rabbi Yeshua thought was Yom Kippur, Amar Rabbi Gamliel stood up as if it's a student standing up for his Rebbe, and Neshako al Rosha, and he gave Rabbi Yeshua a kiss on his head, and Amar Lo, he says to Rabbi Yeshua, Bo B'Shalom, come in peace, Rebbe V'Talmidi, my Rebbe and my Talmid. Rebbe, now I'll explain what that means. You're my Rebbe b'chokhmah, in wisdom. You are certainly my Rebbe. You are more wise than I am. V'talmidi, but you are my Talmid. Shekibalta devarai, that you have accepted my decree, you've accepted my decision. And we see here that the decision of the Beis Din is final in dictating when the Chagim are to be held.